back with another episode of the Harris Huddle, and I am your host, Jalen Harris. And man, I am excited to be back, excited to be talking to y'all for you listening to this new episode that I'm about to drop, man. So, before we get things started today, I'm gonna start off with my social. Please, 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 if you haven't followed yet, please follow my two Instagrams. Not my two Instagrams, my Instagram channel at Harris Huddle and my Twitter at Huddle Harris. So if you didn't catch that, for Instagram, it's underscore Harris Huddle. That's underscore HARRISHUDDLE. And then for Twitter, it's Huddle Harris, HUDDLEHARRIS. And that is underscore Harris Huddle and Huddle Harris. Hope that doesn't get too confusing for you guys and gals out there, but if you need it, you can DM me or at me on those two pages. But wow. We have a lot to talk about in this episode. A couple things I want to hit on. Some recent news. March Madness starts tomorrow. Women's and men's. That's wild. Final Four is going to be in New Orleans. But this year is really interesting, guys, because you have no clear cut. Hey, if they don't slip up, they're going to win a title. There's about six, seven, maybe eight teams, or if you want to go down, definitely four or five teams that can win the title. Like, because it's not a good thing. It's kind of like uncertainty team. Everybody has lost. Everybody has had bad losses with the one seeds, the twos, the threes. I think Tennessee, I'm not going to get into depth with it, but I think Tennessee can really cause people some headaches because they play great defense and they can just get real hot from beyond three. So watch out for Tennessee if you got them losing early. I would go late with them rather than losing early because they play Kentucky tough. They destroyed Auburn. They play really well in the SEC tournament and in just SEC regular season games. So I know you guys have probably all heard this by now, shocked the world. Tom Brady is unretiring. He unretired, I want to say on Monday or Tuesday, but yeah, he unretired. He's going back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Ever since he retired, it's been kind of speculation or just wondering if he's going to unretire and just play for the 49ers or just stay retired and just be kicking it with Giselle and the kids or just anything, because it's kind of just like you don't retire when you're good and when you're still, you retire when you're an old fart and you suck. And Tom Brady even said that himself. He said, "I'll retire when I suck." So he came out, posted on Instagram. Yeah, posted on Instagram and social media that he is unretiring. He'll be back for his 23rd season. And I like it because add some more quarterbacks to the NFC, and you give the NFC South, obviously, that title contender and just the NFL in general title contender. Yeah, probably the same amount of teams wanting to fight to knock off the Rams as the Super Bowl champions. You got the Rams, the Bucks, of course, the Packers. Don't even get me started on Aaron Rodgers, but those are some teams that are going to be vying for that championship. And we'll see what teams do after finishing this free agency and the draft. And speaking of free agency, that started two days ago with that started the legal tampering period. Today right now at 4 p.m. is the time where you can actually sign contracts, and it would be final. The day before and just all the hours in between, there were just verbal agreements to contract terms. So after today, if they sign the contract or announce it, it's signed. It's on the dot. You can't change your mind. So in other news, Kyrie Irving, Uncle Drew, dropped 60 yesterday after dropping 50 in the weekend. Oh my God. He's dropping 50. 60, and he's not even playing in all the games. Are you kidding me? Kyrie's looking like an Uncle Drew movie out. Like, it's really ridiculous. He's getting 60, and he's only shooting, like, 20 shots. Like, I think it half time, he had like 41 on 17 shots. Like, that's ridiculous. Ridiculous. And I'm going to talk about the Nets later in this episode in a couple minutes. But they're looking good, y'all. And the QB trade. So I know, of course, you guys heard about this. So I'm not going to go too in-depth about it. So, Russell Wilson to the Broncos. I'm going to give some quick grades. I give that an A+. The Broncos quarterbacks the past 5 years since Peyton Manning have been terrible. And they needed a guy. They needed the guy that beat them in the Super Bowl. They needed the guy to beat them in the Super Bowl. But obviously, Russell Wilson is a great player. Nine-time Pro Bowl, Super Bowl champion. Just a great guy, a great person, great human. And it brings them a competitor, MVP candidate at the quarterback position. And Denver is a loaded team, and all they just needed is some solidarity and a great guy and an amazing player quarterback, and they can be a playoff contender. Now that the AFC West, with the division they're in, is a tough division with Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, the upcoming Justin Herbert, they're all loading up, and one of those teams in the Chargers, which I'm about to mention, got a blockbuster trade in itself and signing teams in free agency this week, players in free agency. And so with another trade this week is Carson Wentz. He was traded from the Indianapolis Colts to the Washington Commanders. Y'all don't understand how hard that is to remember. Washington Commanders, that's a corny. Commanders. Yeah. I'm the lead commander. No. But Carson Wentz was traded to the Commanders for, I think, a third, two threes, and a fifth, I want to say. But I think it's two thirds and maybe a fifth, sixth round pick. But that third round pick next year, which is going to be next year, can be a conditional second if Carson Wentz plays 70%, or maybe if it's 90% of the snaps. He has to play a certain amount of snaps to make that a second rounder. So it's pretty much, I would say it's a little steep for me, for Washington, but beggars can't be choosers, and they certainly chose Carson Wentz because they were begging for quarterbacks. They did give a trade offer for Russell Wilson, and they also did give trade offers for Jimmy G, and I would say, which are still on the table, and I'm about to speak on him in a second, but they gave trade offers for Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, I'm pretty sure everybody else. They even called about Patrick Mahomes, which is ridiculous, because who was trading Patrick Mahomes? Come on, Commanders, you got to strategize better than that. You're Commanders. But I will give that one a B. It all depends on Carson Wentz. It isn't even though the Commanders is a horrible franchise that needs extensive gutting and work, not on the player side and the upper management and just the culture side. Carson Wentz has to decide whether I'm gonna be a mature athlete and a mature leader and lead. Am I gonna be coachable and read my keys and go for the check down and not go for the home run? Am I not gonna throw it in the coverage? Am I not gonna throw it while I'm getting sacked in the end zone? Am I not gonna do that? Read your keys and just play football. Focus on playing football. Listen to your coaches. And I know one thing, Carson Wentz. Ron Rivera is not going to play that. And Ron Rivera is the head coach for the Washington Commanders. He's a man that's been through a lot, former NFL player, and he's even dealt with lymphoma cancer last year. You're going to listen to Ron Rivera, and you are going to be coachable under his watch. You are going to. As I'm looking at my phone right now, Russell Wilson is being introduced as the Denver Broncos quarterback right now in a press conference. Shout out to Russell Wilson. Let Russ cook. But some other news that's happened this in the past weeks is Jimmy Garoppolo. He did have surgery, and that did impact his trade, I would say, timeline, because he was looking to be traded pretty early, considering off the press conferences and interviews he's done. So with that shoulder injury and the surgery, is kind of pushed back with some things, with also Deshaun Watson, his situation, which I'm about to hit on in a second. Jimmy Garoppolo will probably fall or get traded after this whole Deshaun Watson trade situation goes about and goes, because all the teams that are in the running for Deshaun Watson are still going to have quarterbacks and are going to have pissed off quarterbacks on their roster that need to get traded. So it's all a bing bong domino effect. Deshaun Watson is the big domino. So that is my recent news for the week. And also, well, I forgot one thing. Khalil Mack did get traded to the Los Angeles Chargers. That's one thing I mentioned. He is a Pro Bowl, All-Pro caliber defensive player, the player at defensive end, and that adds to that Los Angeles Chargers defense and gives Joey Bosa another guy to rush the edges with, and you need guys to go get after the quarterback. So my first topic of this episode, which I really want to get into, is Deshaun Watson and his trade situation. So if you hear this sigh and my heavy breathing, it's because it's a difficult situation to talk about and just to get into and just all the gory details. So Deshaun Watson is a top five quarterback from the Houston Texans organization. He's a franchise quarterback. He's a typical all-pro MVP caliber player. And Deshaun Watson is great. His last season, his 2020 season, before he was suspended or put on the commissioner's exempt list, he had a completion percentage of 70%. He threw for 4,823 yards. He threw for 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. Ladies and gentlemen, he led the league in passing before this. He led the league in passing. Like, that is ridiculous. He led the league in passing. He's only 26. And you have to take that into account. So this whole situation, Deshaun Watson, about a year ago, a lot of accusations came out about him being accused of sexual, I want to say, assault in massage therapy appointments. It's been situations where some women have described where he kind of forced him, not forced him to have sex, but he kind of like was in a way where he kind of put them in an awkward situation, or he put his body part there on them, and where I'm probably butchering this, kind of explaining it, but it was situations where it was kind of unwanted sexual behavior in massage sessions where Deshaun Watson gets massages for his body, you know, at the practice or games. Quarterbacks, you know, everybody needs massages to relax those muscles. So about 20 of those, 20, it's a lot. I can't even, it's a ridiculous number. 20 some odd cases came up. So they all, he still has those civil cases. He has about 20 cases in civil litigation. So the big key, which is why I'm bringing it up and talking about it, is because beginning of this week, his legal situation, the criminal charges in the grand jury, he was cleared of all charges. The DA or the grand jury would not charge him. So that opens up the Pandora's box of NFL teams that want to trade for him. So this means NFL teams or owners have given their general manager, head coaches, the green light to trade for him. Now, obviously, I mentioned those civil cases are still on board and he will have to deal with that on his own. But the four teams that have kind of jumped in, or really the front runners in this running, is the New Orleans Saints, the Carolina Panthers, Cleveland Browns, and the Atlanta Falcons. They are all interested and assumed to have offered trade packages for Watson. So to get a meeting with Watson, you have to offer a trade package that the Houston Texans will like, and he will also have to want to go to your team. But it's a big thing that you have to, everybody has to be in lockstep and just be on one direction about this situation, because Deshaun Watson has a no trade clause and he has to meet with you and he has to agree to want to be on your team. So this is a difficult situation with the teams, the fans. Anyone who trades for Deshaun Watson is going to get flack. Now, I do say this for everybody who's listening, I don't want this to come off insensitive or anything, but yes, this is going to bring bad press if your team or town or city trades for Deshaun Watson, but that is a hard option to not pursue, because it's just, he's a top five quarterback. He could be an all pro every year or a MVP candidate. He's going to be an MVP candidate every year. And you just don't forget to throw the football after a year. He is a chess piece to a team. Now, you can't, that doesn't excuse his off-field issues or off-season issues. Now, I really thought Deshaun Watson was, I can't say he's not, because you know anything happens, but this does create a dent, or has a dent on his character in the eyes of fans and media members and just employees, just general people around the world, that these assault cases or assault allegations really put a dent on his career. And it's sad to see, but Deshaun Watson is a great player. And as I mentioned, the Atlanta Falcons, they're my presumably favorite team. Oh my God, hold up. I am sorry, y'all. I just got a notification that Julio Jones just got released by the Titans. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Wow. I'm sorry, y'all, but Julio Jones got released. One of the all-time greatest players in Falcons history just got released from the Titans. Now, he did have an injury plagued season, and he didn't really produce the way the Titans were hoping he would produce and play alongside AJ Brown. But wow, that's really shocking. So you get a veteran kind of injury prone player on the market, but Julio Jones has been a Pro Bowler all decade wide receiver, and he can add some veteran presence on a weak wide receiver market. So that is interesting. He got released just now in the first couple days of free agency. So I will look for a couple teams to go in and check and kind of knock on the door with Julio Jones. One, the Falcons, the Atlanta Falcons. Yes, as you would say, the team that traded him last year. Yes, the Atlanta Falcons need to knock on the door of Julio Jones, because we don't have any wide receivers. And Calvin Ridley bet on games and got suspended. Don't get me started on that. So we don't have any receivers. We don't have a one, we don't have a two, we don't have a three. We have fours and fives and sixes and guys that would get cut. So we need to knock on the door. Let me think of a team that could call Julio Jones. The New England Patriots, the Green Bay Packers, the Arizona Cardinals, the Las Vegas Raiders, and I'm gonna go one more team to not bore y'all to death with my reaction. The New Orleans Saints and probably the Carolina Panthers. They could all be suitors for Julio Jones. Now, you heard that first from me, and I need to drop this episode really fast. You heard that first from me. And that's Live Action News. I hope y'all enjoy this. Y'all don't like that. Y'all don't like that. I didn't write that down, y'all. I didn't know that was going to happen off the top of my head. But back to Deshaun Watson. He is a top five quarterback, and the trade packages that a team will have to give them will be multiple first round picks and probably a couple high-end and starter level players. So based off the teams that are listed, including my hometown team, I think probably the Saints or the Browns will have the strongest offer that the Texans would like to pick. But ultimately, it is up to Deshaun Watson to pick the team that he wants to play for. So obviously, I mean, I hope everything with Watson would be, hope all this isn't what it seems like, and it's just a misunderstanding, or it's just kind of like, I hope you say it. I wouldn't say a Ponzi scheme, but not a Ponzi scheme, but just, even though 20, it's bad what it looks like if you have 20 women accusing you of sexual assault. That is terrible, and that is wrong. Now, with no criminal charges, that does bring out not some doubt, but it's just kind of like, what kind of evidence did they have against him, or did he have again on his side to prove he didn't do it? But of course, the civil cases are still on there, but Deshaun Watson is up to him to choose. And I know the Falcons are meeting with him at this moment today. The Panthers, the Saints, and the Browns all met with him yesterday or the day before. So in the coming days, you should see news on that, whichever team Deshaun Watson picks. You should know about that and the trade package that they get. So you're getting a top five player. Now you're really probably going to have to make a dent on your roster or your draft capital to get him. But he is a once in a lifetime, not once in a lifetime, but once in a couple of years, 5 to 10 years player, and you don't get that on trees and they don't get traded often. So he is a superstar. In my next topic, we are moving to Harden and Embiid versus the Brooklyn Nets. Wow. Watching that March 10th game was an eye-opener, and the games going after it really have been shocking me. Embiid and Harden are a dynamic duo, but when the pressure comes, will Harden crumble? Will Embiid crumble? Will they crumble? They depend heavily on free throws, and that doesn't get, you don't get a lot of free throws in the playoffs. You're not getting 30 free throw attempts in the playoffs. I can tell you that. It's going to get slower. It's going to get more physical. And it's going to get just prove who's the dominant player out there. Who's willing to come to the show and play. Now, Kyrie, KD dropping 50. Kyrie dropping 50 and 60 in the past week. He clamped up Harden. We saw that. And he went to go party after. He went to go party after getting clamped. I'm not a killjoy, but that isn't a bad look in Philly. You're getting booed. I'm sorry for you. This ain't Houston. Can't go get a 16. you can't drop 16 points and go get a 20 piece in the club at the strip club. It's just not gonna work. They want championships. They want guys that grind. Embiid is doing that. Embiid is probably the MVP candidate this year. I mean, not probably, the MVP front runner this year. And he's going to bring it every night, being that dominant force in the middle and just in the paint. But he's amazing. He could give you 30 and 10 off ease. So, it's up to Harden if he really wants to play and just really comes to show himself that, hey, I'm James Harden. I can come play in playoff atmospheres and tight games, and just when the knuckle beats the road, can we play? Like, can he drop 30 and 10? Can he beat James Harden, the beard? Or will he wilter and under the pressure? Now, the Nets are playing really well. They're starting to look like a team. It's not just ISO ball that you seen last year. Just, hey, you take it. No, you go. No, we're just going to go one-on-one. We're just going to clear out. Actually playing like a team. They're kind of having flow on offense. The role players know their role. It isn't just, hey, we have three guys and a bunch of bones and skeletons after that as our bench. You got Goran Dragic. You got Anthony Drummond to rebound. Goran Dragic is a great veteran-led point guard. Seth Curry can come off the bench and shoot threes. LaMarcus Aldridge provides some more size, but he is getting really old. The other guy, Cam Thomas, is a firecracker that comes off the bench. He can give you probably 10 to 15 points. I know I'm shorting them, but guys, I'm thinking in the playoffs. Their team can all play. Nicholas Claxton is a great defender. They all can play. And if Ben Simmons can come and be added to this team, he needs to come back now. Because once you get in the playoffs, he's just going to crumble again. You have a bad back and stuff. And I'm not sure how to take back spasms or back injuries now after not playing, but they only have 17 games left. That's like 4 more weeks in NBA terms of just basketball, and it's getting a team jail. That could be your ultimate demise if you expect him to go be an all-NBA defender and just work and flow off Kyrie and KD. That's just not going to work even. You have a bigger damper with Kyrie not playing in home games and possibly not playing in home playoff games. So Ben Simmons needs to find a way to get on the court and find a way to contribute, because practicing your shot and just nursing an injury is not what they traded you for. They traded you to be that piece that gets them past Milwaukee, that gets them past Miami. You need to go be able to guard Giannis. You need to go be able to guard Jimmy Butler. You need to go be able to guard Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Because they're coming. And they're coming to knock the Nets off. The Nets off. And that's going to be a real big challenge, because you don't want KD or Kevin Durant to have to balance the defensive and the offensive loads. Because they're more likely to get hurt. They're more likely to be exhausted, fatigued. We saw KD drop 51 game last year in the playoffs. And was exhausted and had to, basically, I know he was by himself, but dropping 50 to just get the Nets to the win in that next game. I think it was game five. You can see the fatigue. He still dropped like 30, but it wasn't enough until that game seven that he almost missed. He missed. His foot was on the line to take them to the conference finals. But as I said, the Nets are returning to their form, or I should say a new form. They don't look like that team last year. That's just Harden, Kyrie, KD, and they're going to score more than you. They play together. They're playing like a team. They're really getting down in that gritty and playing defense and flowing. So that's what I have. I did that quick thing on Harden and Embiid and the Brooklyn Nets, how I feel. It's going to be real popcorn if they meet in the playoffs. I'm hoping for it. I just want great playoff basketball. And I feel like the NBA this year, I'm glad they're more deeper in the playoff brackets. There are more teams that you can have legitimate games in the 5 and 6 or the 7 and 8 or the 1 and 8, excuse me. And from 1 to 8 down, there's great games and great players. You see Ja Morant in the playoffs. That's going to be amazing. So in my last kind of mini topic, I just wanted to give y'all my March Madness picks, man. Come on, follow Jay. We're going to win the ESPN tournament bracket. Come on. So in my first bracket, I have Gonzaga winning. In my second one, I have Arizona winning. Hey, I feel like Gonzaga is a deep team along with Arizona. I think Arizona is deeper. They rebound the ball really well and have really good offensive stats and players. And I think Gonzaga, that loss and that hunger, they really return everybody except, I think, not Josh Hart. Why am I thinking of Josh Hart? The guy on the Magic, I can't remember his name right now. I don't know why I'm going blank, but you guys will know. You know, you could tell me right now. Tell me, but I don't know. I forgot his name, but he's a rookie. He's on the Nets now. Not the Nets, the Magic last year, and he played really well. He led them to the NBA championship, but they just faced a dog in Baylor, and I'm not counting Baylor out. I have them as a Final Four team, but I think I don't think they're just going to beat them. Just win the championship again this year. They face injuries. They have a couple ugly losses that I didn't like in there to some Big 12 opponents. But I think Baylor has lost a couple pieces via injury that I won't pick them to repeat. So I feel these are solid picks, man. I really do. Now, like everybody, it would be ironic for me to have like a one seed or like teams in my Elite Eight or Final Four losing the first or second round. It's just like, that's the beauty of it. Beauty of March Madness. But this year there isn't a Kentucky that has like Anthony Davis or Willie Cauley-Stein or those twins or like Carl Anthony Towns. No undefeated team like Gonzaga last year. There's no undefeated team like, yeah, they're going to run the gauntlet. It's really teams you could just, it's a toss up, man. I can see Tennessee in the Final Four. I can see North Carolina in the Final Four, in the Elite Eight. I don't know. You can see Duke, even though Duke is real streaky after Paolo Banchero. I'm sorry. Guys with names today. I know you can laugh at me in the comments, but say that twice. Have a tongue twister. But after them with Banchero, there isn't a solid score. There isn't a rhythm. There isn't like a plan. Like, hey, we're going to do this and score. Like, they aren't a great defensive team. And it's just, they're getting exposed. They've been exposed the last couple weeks. North Carolina exposed them. And they lost to Virginia Tech in the ACC Tournament Championship. So there isn't a guy or guys to go to. They don't have go-to guys out the bench. It's kind of like they just let him run. He scores probably 10 points in the early run. And they just, hey, you take it, you score, and they just don't. They're not. I don't think the Duke is that good this year. So my group of championship winners, probably Gonzaga. I can see Arizona. I don't like Kansas, but Kansas is playing well right now. I would say Kentucky with Oscar Tshiebwe is playing great. This year with Kentucky, everybody has a role. They have a shooter. They have Tshiebwe that can get you a double-double and with the rebounding and being in the paint. They have guys that fit their role. They come off the bench. They know how to play. they aren't looking to just be top 10 picks or lottery picks. They're or being first rounders. They're playing their role, doing their job. I heard Coach Cal on ESPN the other day saying he just loves to coach his team. They love each other. So I would look out for them. Kentucky, Gonzaga, Arizona. I don't like the bottom of my bracket a lot. I would say Tennessee is a team to look out for. And you could pick Baylor. I know guys. I know my dad picked Baylor to win it all. But I think they lost a couple pieces. I know a guy from injury. I can't remember his name. But he's a top one or two scorer on their team. And he's out. But I'm not telling y'all how to pick out y'all brackets. Y'all not going to tell me how to pick mine. We're just going to go for the best. And hopefully I can win this truck or car in the ESPN Challenge and ride to the sunset. But that's all I have for you guys today in this episode of Harris Huddle. I am your host, Jalen Harris. I want to wish you guys a safe, happy day. And thanks for rocking with me at the Harris Huddle. And check out my social media. For Instagram, it's Harris Huddle. It's underscore Harris Huddle. For Twitter, it's Huddle Harris. If you didn't catch that, Instagram underscore Harris Huddle. Twitter, Huddle Harris. And that, it's your boy Jalen, and I'm out. See you guys later.